Genesis chapter number 1. We'll read the first 5 verses this morning. Responsively, I'll read verse number 1, and you'll join me on verse number 2. We'll read all the way through verse number 5. Genesis chapter number 1. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." And let's read verse number 5 together. "And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house this morning. Lord, you created us for a purpose. Lord, we appreciate what you've done for us. But Lord, this morning, may we examine in our own lives, are we pleasing you? Is our life pleasing to you? And as our preacher preaches the word of God, Lord, we'll lift up the truth this morning. Lord, through your Holy Spirit's power, Lord, please speak to each and every one of our hearts. You have something for us. May we find it. Lord, may we think about it, and may we apply it to our lives. Be with our pastor. Fill him with your power as he preaches. We'll yield ourselves to you as we listen. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open there to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to talk to you for a moment, and then we'll jump right into the scriptures. I love the morning hours. There's just something special about early morning. It could be that most everybody else is sleeping and I get a few hours of quiet, but I love the early morning hours. I love sunrise. I promise you, you could count on that hand the number of mornings in the last year I didn't see the sun come up. I promise you. There's just something special about sunrise. It gives hope. It signals the end of darkness. And I love how beautiful the mornings are on this property. Our property kind of sits up on a little bit of a hill here. And, of course, there's only one house here. There's one out front here and one way back over the corner here and one on the other side of the 13 acres over there. There's really nothing to obscure sunrise here. And it's just amazing. Every morning that I'm in town and in this building, I walk out on that front porch and watch the sun come up. It's one of the most amazing things. What an amazing creator and what an amazing artist our God is. You walk out and those doors face due east, just about. And it's amazing. I'm not a photographer. Matter of fact, I'm colorblind. Just ask my wife. I'm horribly colorblind. It's just one of those things. But if a colorblind person can see the colors that I see, I can't imagine what people who are not colorblind, I was going to say normal, but people who are not colorblind see. Matter of fact, I'm not a photographer. But almost every day for the last almost 2 years we've been in this building, I've taken a picture of sunrise. And it's just amazing some of the pictures that we get. Matter of fact, last year I had Mrs. Burns, because she's techno-smart compared to me. I put about 40 or 50 of these pictures in a little book and had about 2 of these printed. And these are just some of the pictures from sunrise. I called it Sunrise at Grace. And just had it put together. Matter of fact, I'll put it out on Mrs. Barnes's counter out there. And if you'd like to look through it, you can. But do not take it, all right? I do have one more copy, but I'd rather not part with it. But I'll leave it there for a while. You could look through them. Some of the colors, the oranges and the pinks and just some of the most amazing things. By the way, God doesn't just turn a switch and the light turns light, all right? It comes up in stages. I'll put it on the counter and you can see it, but may I say this, what an amazing God we have. Amen. Now, night or darkness is not as enjoyable of a time. whether it be the night hours or what we would call the dark hours of life. Those are not fun. The dark is the time where the working of thieves takes place, the prowling of the beasts. Boy, you go out at night and the critters are out everywhere, especially if you're out here. It is a time of fearfulness. Children get more afraid at night. Did you ever notice at nighttime fevers go up? Somebody's sick, they're sicker in the night. It is what it is. It's the time of the cry of the baby, though some cry all the time. It's generally when that crying gets incessant and there's nothing to calm them. It's the time of wailing for the bereaved. It's rare that people die in a good hour. Oh, I can't tell you the countless times I've been up through the night with families as their loved one passes from this side to the next. It's the cry of the lonely. You're more lonely in the dark. Nighttime is a time of melancholy and shadows and the heartbreaks of life. Psalm 22 verse 2 says it's a time that we cry to God. Song of Solomon 3:8 says it's a time of fear. Job 27:20 says it's a time of terror. Lamentations 1:2 says it's a time of weeping sore because of being forsaken. Job 24:14 says it's a time of killing and a time of thieves. 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says as a thief in the night. And 1 Thessalonians 5:7 talks about the time of darkness. Not only is the dark night all of these things and all of these times, but it's also true of the dark hours, dark days, times of darkness in our life. I'm not talking about the dark hours as far as from evening to morning, but I'm talking about those times of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Talking about those times where you get the news, it's cancer, it's this disease, it's that disease. It's that time where your child, or your grown child or teen child breaks your heart and you go through dark days and dark hours. It's the time of heartache and pain of life. The dark times make sickness seem more severe than it really is. The dark times seem to be the time of bad news. My phone rings 24 hours a day. My first text came in at 15 after 4 this morning. You know, when the phone rings at 12, 1, 2, 3 in the morning, those aren't good phone calls. The last 10 days or so, my mama was at home. I know my dad's sitting back there right now. But virtually every night for the last 10 days, I think there was only one out of those 10 days that somewhere between about midnight and 2 a.m., she would call and say, "I can't get up. Can you come help?" And I'd be there in no time flat. My dad barely got the garage door open one time. He said, "Good night. Were you already halfway here?" I wait a minute. Say, what was that? Those dark hours. Those dark hours. But can I tell you some good news? I'm about to shout. You know that morning always follows the night. The dark hours are there, but bless God, Brother Mike, the sunrise is coming. Those dark nights that you think will never end, all of a sudden, light starts breaking on that eastern horizon. And you say there's some hope. See, since the creation, God started with night and then let light follow. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 5, "And the evening and the morning were the first day." Verse number 8 says, "And the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse number 13, the evening and the morning were of the third day. Verse number 19, the evening and the morning were of the fourth day. Verse 23, and the evening and the morning were of the fifth day. And we read down in verse number 31, and the evening and the morning were of the sixth day. Have you ever noticed that God starts with darkness and ends with light? But we humans think we start with light and end with darkness. By God's calendar, by God's standard, you start with darkness, but light follows. Amen. You see, I don't care how dark the night. I don't care how many bad things happen in the night. Morning light will come. Doesn't matter how long the night, doesn't matter how bad the heartache, morning is on the horizon. The morning light announces hope. The morning introduces light to that dark, rough world. The morning sky welcomes the King of Light. Listen to me very carefully here. The morning is the time of day our minds work fastest. Biologically proven, by the way, that's after two cups of coffee. Just thought I'd mention that. Black and strong, Columbia blend, amen? But it's a proven fact, your mind works faster in the morning than it does in the evening. Proven fact, your body temperature is at a more normal temp in the morning than it is in the evening. Say, why is that? Because the dark hours are those hard hours. If you work a night shift, boy, you know what I'm talking about. Your life is messed up. The body doesn't just work right. You're not supposed to eat breakfast at 8 o'clock at night and sleep during the light. The sleep you get is not as good as it is during the dark hours. Now, morning is the time that our body functions best. Reminds me of a poem. I met God in the morning when my day was at its best. And his presence came like sunrise, like glory in my breast. All day long his presence lingered, all day long he stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness o'er life's troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered, other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us peace and rest. With a keen remorse of mine, when I too had loosed the moorings, with the presence left behind, so I think I know the secret. Learn from many a troubled way. You must seek him in the morning if you want him through the day. Right. Can I tell you something? There is no more precious time than to meet with God than in the morning. Oh, I could go through hundreds of scriptures where it said, early will I seek thee. In the morning, I sought him. In the morning, we talked. There is something special about being up early in the morning meeting with God. It could be that nobody else is up doing it. I have a preacher friend. My dear friend, I've known him over 3 decades now. About 4:45 this morning, I texted. I have about 35, 40 pastors and assistant pastors around the country. I text every Sunday morning to encourage them. Have been doing that for almost 8 years now. Many of them have a group of pastors and assistant pastors now that they try to, and it's sparking around the country. One of my friends, I told him very early this morning I was praying for him, and he texted me back quickly, and he said, I thought I heard your footsteps hit the throne today. He said, I thought I heard your footsteps. I love that. I love that. God designed it so that the darkness comes first, but that light always follows darkness. The darkness will come. I can't promise you a life without darkness. I would be a lying fool to tell you that once you're a Christian, that the dark days are past. They are not. But I will tell you something. Light always follows the darkness. I can't promise you No dark nights, but I can promise you light will come. Psalm 30, verse number 5 says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, we may weep through many a night, but may I say this, there's going to be joy in the morning. Sunset may be beautiful, but I don't know about you, there's a sadness that comes with sunset. Sunsets are very beautiful, but they signal that darkness is coming. There's a somberness that goes with sunset. It just kind of lets you know you're in store for some darkness coming. I enjoy watching a sunset. Don't get me wrong, they're beautiful, but I enjoy sunrise so much more. Sunset says the darkness is coming, but sunrise says light is here. Sunset's a time to reflect on what was, and you realize the darkness is about to begin. But may I say this, the sun will come up again. Whew. You'll have to go through the darkness, though, to get to the morning light. Let me share a few thoughts with you this morning. Number one, God begins the day with darkness. God begins the day with darkness. The evening and the morning were the first day. Isn't it amazing? We start the morning at midnight in the middle of the darkness. God says the evening and the morning were the first day. You see, sunset comes before sunrise. Darkness comes before light. God says toil comes before rest. God says work comes before paycheck.
That's right.
God says if you don't work, you should not eat. Amen. Wish our government could figure that out. The cross comes before the resurrection. Labor comes before buying.
That's right.
Did you know you're supposed to work before you buy? Tears come before joy. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You want joy, you'll have to have tears. Joy is watered with by the tears of tribulation. Sowing comes before reaping. May I say this? Running the race comes before the reward. You have to run the race to get to the reward at the end. You don't just say, well, I'll be fastest, just give me the gold medal now. Doesn't work that way. Weeping comes before rejoicing. Travail comes before birth. Just ask any of these ladies that had a baby. Oh, they're all excited. Yeah, watch them have one of them puppies. They're not so excited as it's happening. There's joy afterwards, but by the way, that proves why no man should ever have a baby and he'd never have a second one. Mm-mm. Ain't no man going to hurt like that ever again. Not on purpose, at least. Travail comes before birth. Did you know earth comes before heaven? You won't get to heaven until you've walked this earth. Wilderness comes before Canaan. There is no happy morning until the travail of darkness. Here's the problem. We want the opposite. We want God to skip the darkness in our life. Please don't take this offensively, but if you do, tough. These idiots that get up and preach, well, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. They don't know the Bible that I have. Every one of us are sinners. Just because you're saved doesn't take your problems away. And if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. And if you have a teenager, you really know what I'm talking about. I once saw a bumper sticker. It says, I don't do drugs. I have a teenager. And that's as far from reality as I need to get. It was not on my vehicle, but I couldn't chase the guy down to get it either. Yeah, we want life with no problems. We think if there's a problem or a dark hour in life that God's not fair. May I say something? He said darkness comes, then the light.
That's right.
Just because you're saved doesn't take your sin away.
That's right.
As far as the effects of it here on earth, we're all going to face it. And may I say this, do you know that Adam and Eve had darkness too?
That's right.
God created the darkness and the light before man. Those dark hours are coming. Those hours of darkness are there for a reason in life, and you can't ask for all sunshine. All sunshine makes a desert. If you've never been to the desert, you've not experienced real heat and nastiness. But boy, when it gets dark, it gets cold. It can be 110. I was in 124 degree desert down in Mexico one year, and that night it got down to 48 degrees. Now you talk about a temperature change. That was almost 80 degree temperature change. Boy, as soon as that sun comes up, it starts peeking through and the temperature starts going. And by about 10 o'clock in the morning, you're waiting for the sun to go back down. But nothing's growing. See, you want a life that's dry and dusty but full of light. Can I tell you something? I don't let the amount of light outside determine what's going on the inside. Well, it's just been so gray lately, preacher. I just feel so depressed. Well, turn the light on and get excited. What are you doing letting the sunshine or the darkness decide your joy? It's not what's going on the outside. It's what's going on the inside. Somebody this morning, I think it was Miss Kim, she asked me, she said, "Preacher, how you doing?" Miss Ann was with her. I said, "I'm doing fantastic." I said, "If I was any better, I'd be twins in the world to hate both of me." Say, "Preacher, are you like that all the time?" I am. Can I tell you why? I don't let the external decide what's going on inside. And though the dark hours come, may I say something, light's coming up. My mom died on that Wednesday. I preached a funeral on Friday. We didn't have church that night because of that ice storm we got right before church hour. But I was prepared to preach that Wednesday night, the very day my mother passed away. 45 minutes after my mom passed away, I was helping a family plan a funeral that I would preach on Friday. Preached funeral on Friday. I preached all day Sunday. I preached mom's funeral on Monday. Mrs. Diener's husband passed away same day my mom did. And I preached his memorial service on Tuesday. And we had Christmas that week. Preached Wednesday night church. Preached Sunday again. Say, "Preacher, how'd you do that?" The first time I stood to preach, I was in my office and I said, "God, this is the first time in 40 plus years I will have preached and my mama hasn't been here to pray for me." And the Holy Spirit smote me. "Brother Randy," Holy Spirit said, "What do you mean she's not praying for you? She's looking at him face to face right now." Whew. There was a little bit of confidence there that I hadn't had before. She wasn't just praying. She looking at him said, "That's my boy. You better help him. I know him. You really better help him." You see, though the dark hours are there, morning's coming. So, first of all, we have to realize that God begins the day with darkness. Number two, darkness will come, and that is one of the sureties of life. Did you know the sun will come up, but the sun will go down? Doesn't matter who's born, doesn't matter who dies. We cannot control whether the sun goes up or down. We can't control light and darkness. It happens as God put it in motion, and it is one of those things that's sure no matter what happens here on earth.
Right.
Can I tell you something? Those dark hours of life are going to come. You're going to have the death of a loved one. It's going to happen. You're going to have a sick child. You may get the news that your child has something that will never go away. You may get the news of You have a disease. You may get the news you have cancer. You may face being paralyzed. You may have a child that's born that the world would call not normal. I don't know what they, if you've seen what the world calls normal, I'm glad my children weren't normal. You may face divorce in your family. You may have been forsaken. You may have a child who one day break your heart. You may be facing those senior years of feebleness. You may face the death of a child, whether it was before birth or after birth. I've preached funerals for caskets that would barely fit on top of my pulpit. And I've preached funerals for folks over 100 years old and every age in between. Death is not a respecter of person or age. You see, darkness is one of those things you can count on happening in life. Well, that's just not fair, preacher. I don't understand why God allows this. Did you know God doesn't control all the circumstances? I preached a sermon on that several months ago. God doesn't control all the circumstances. That's Calvinism. Quit blaming God for your sin. God doesn't control everything that happens. You think God would have made something this nasty? You really think God would make something like this? No, we messed it up with our sin. God will control that which we allow him to control. But he does not control everything. Number three. As sure as darkness comes, morning will follow. Praise God in the night. Because it's going to get you closer to the morning. Oh, I didn't say the darkness wouldn't be there, but if you'll learn to praise God at night, morning will come. Remember Paul and Silas in the prison in the book of Acts? At midnight, they began to sing. Can you imagine Brother Josh and I singing together? Oh, that would be horrible, wouldn't it? Being put in prison. Imagine Brother Jimbo and me being put in prison and us singing. No wonder the jail shook. I can imagine Brother Paul and Brother Silas leaning over, and Paul says, I could hit baritone if you can hit lead. They began to sing in the night. God sent an earthquake and shook that prison open. Say, why was that? They started praising God in the dark hours of night. Doing that in the middle of jail when they weren't the guards, amen? Brother Juan, imagine a couple of the dudes at the jail start singing and all the doors start popping open and God brings an earthquake. Yeah, it's going to get a little exciting. Amen. Can I tell you something? The darkness may come, but morning's coming. If you'll learn to praise God during those dark times, it'll hasten the morning a little faster. Can I tell you something? Don't complain about the night. Morning's on the way. Don't get so upset that those dark hours are there. Morning is on the way. Miss Wally and I have been talking this week quite a bit. And she's missed Fred a little extra this week, and so have I. That hard-headed old coot. Hardest man I ever had to talk to is Fred Skaggs. That man nearly died 3 times before he ever got saved. I mean, an hour from death, and he still wouldn't get saved. He'd been on hospice 3 times, and they kicked him out. Unbelievable. An hour from death, and I said, Fred, you're going to bust hell wide open if you don't get saved. I'm not ready yet, preacher. Oh. I remember sitting in that living room, my wife and Wally at the table in the dining room praying. And I looked at him and he finally said, okay, preacher, I give. I'm ready. And that tough old mountain man bowed his head and trusted Jesus as his Savior. Oh, just a little ways down the road. The last 18 hours of his life he spent down here at the hospice. Just minutes before he went to heaven, I was with him. Literally minutes. He got a little Fred in him. He started struggling a little. I said, Fred, hey, Fred, this is a preacher. He just calmed right down. And I said, Fred, I said, you're about to take your journey. You're about to see Jesus. I said, just sit back. Let him do the driving. Put my hand on his head and I prayed with him and asked the Lord to take him quickly. I left the hospice, drove to the church. All of what, 300 yards, 400 yards? Pulled in, went to my office, and within 2 minutes the phone rang and he'd been in heaven. Took me telling him to give up, but told him that he was stubborn. But can I tell you something? He's playing tag with the angels, and he's not messing anything up anymore. Now, he does not have a saw in his bedroom anymore either. Can I tell you something? Don't complain about the night. By the way, Miss Wally, that last night you called me about 2:30 in the morning. Fred was having a tough time, and I walked through the door and said, Fred, settle down. And he just went. Wally threw her hands up and said, how'd you do that? I was there for a little while, give her a little break, and left and came and changed clothes, got back to the office. And Brother Josh and I ran to the house, and the hospice nurse was there, and he was being a stinker again. And I wasn't even talking to him. I started talking to Miss Wally, but he heard my voice, and he went. And the nurse just looked at me. She said, who are you? I said, I'm the pastor. She said, you're the only one he's listening to. I said, that's normal. Thank God, that tough old mountain man trusted Jesus. Oh, those dark hours were there, but then came the morning. You can't prevent the morning any more than you can prevent the night. Brother Jimbo, you remember your brother getting saved? Your wife called me and said, I'm going to get in trouble, but it's worth it. He was dying. I walked in and I heard Jimbo say, preacher, this man's been known to not be so kind to preachers. Matter of fact, I think he had shot at a couple of them. But I knew he was indoors. He wasn't going to shoot me, and I had my gun on too, so. And then what does Jimbo do? He gets up and leaves the room. So there I am with him. Jimbo went out to pray. After about 15 minutes, I watched that tough old, pardon the expression, but I mean this in a respectful way, just a tough old redneck. Jimbo knows what I'm talking about, just a tough old redneck. So addicted to alcohol that the doctor had to prescribe it while he was in there. Watch that man bow his head and trust Jesus Christ as a Savior. We talked for a little while, went out and talked to Jimbo and left. You know that man, when Jimbo went back in, he said, go tell them nurses I don't need that liquor anymore. I talked to the preacher. Never took another drop. Called me his preacher. I preached his memorial service outside his trailer out back, Harper's Ferry area. Brother Jimbo built me a pulpit out of plywood or a fiberboard. He said, preacher, don't hit that thing like you do at church. It'll fall apart. There were more guns than people there. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. I had one there too myself. I think there was about 45, 50 people there. We had over 20 people get saved. I had a preacher come up and he said, did my son get saved? I said, I don't know. Which one's your son? He said, the one in Camelway. I said, which one? He said, that one right there. I said, and the lady beside him, their hands were the first two to go up. He said, that's my son and daughter-in-law. I've been trying for years to get them saved. He said, thank you. Tears running down his face. Can I tell you something? Darkness came, but morning light's on its way. You see, you can't prevent the morning any more than you can prevent the night. You can't prevent the night any more than you can prevent the morning. The darkness and shadows are a forerunner to the light of the morning. And if you're in darkness right now, can I tell you something? Light's on its way. I can't always predict the time, but I can promise you if you're in the darkness, light's on the way. May I say this? I'm about to shout. The greatest days of life, the greatest days of my life have always been after the dark days. I don't know how to describe this, but it seems like the darker the hour and the bigger the trial, the brighter the light the next morning. Have you ever been through one of those really nasty storms in the middle of the night? You know, tornado. And around here, you don't know what a tornado is, but I grew up in Ohio where we had real tornadoes. Not the weatherman trying to scare you. I mean, you go out and see the funnel clouds and see the damage. Hear that roar like a freight train going down through the neighborhoods. Oh, horrible. I remember working in Bible college, came out of the shop one night, and it was just storming. It's a little after midnight. I walked out, and the lightning flashed, and I could see a tornado going down the railroad tracks on the other side of the, about 200 or 300 yards away from me. I went in and we called the police. That was days before cell phones. And told them where it was headed because it was headed for the university there. They were able to get the warning out. I've seen some pretty bad storms. But you know what? After those storms pass, the light in the morning is almost piercing bright. Seems like the darker the hour, the brighter the light. Can I tell you something? The same God that created the earth is still the same God today. The same God that created the evening hours, created the morning hours, and He is the same God today. Amen. I've lived long enough to prove that the darker the hour, the brighter the next light is. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm not telling you what some preacher taught me. I'm telling you what I've proven in my own life. I'm telling you what I know. My wife and I got married. I put her through her last year of college after I graduated. First place we went was Southern California. Oh, God forbid. I was out in Long Beach, California during the Rodney King riots. They were burning buildings down 7 blocks from our house. There was not a 30-day period in 2 years that I did not see police officers with guns drawn. They used our church as a command post for hostage situations and landed the helicopter in the parking lot. And we were in a good part of town. I had 3 bullets fly over my car when I got off on PCH off the 710 freeway the night before the riots took place. One of our deacons had a heart attack, and I was in Bellflower, California, and had to drive back to North Long Beach when the riots started out that night. And I'm driving down 91 Artesia Boulevard, headed back towards North Long Beach, thinking, man, 6 lanes of traffic, and I'm the only guy driving out here. This is pretty cool. I've not seen this the whole time. Nothing but police officers going past me. And I had the radio on and seen what was going on at the hospital, and all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, this isn't so safe. They're the target, not me. That's not a good thing. I remember gang unification meeting broken up 4 blocks from my house at the park, not far from my house, with automatic machine gun fire. Guy had an AK-47 out there going, brr, 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 brr. 32 police cruisers in our church parking lot flying up, and I said, which way are you going? They said, we're going this way. I said, I'm going that way. He said, get home, Reverend. I said, don't worry. And my poor little old wife, I pull up in the driveway and I get to the door and she got a 20 gauge pointed at me. She didn't know what to do with it, but it was pointed at me. I said, honey, put it down. It's me. Give me the gun. Give me the gun. Here we go. And we were in a good part of town. Josh was born there. 4 months old. Went into the hospital with pneumonia, RSV. had asthma. Put him on life support for 3 weeks. I won't relive the story, but I remember for 3 weeks and us getting the phone call, he's not alive. We'll try to get him alive and keep him alive till you get here. Police escort to the hospital. Honey, those are pretty dark hours. 12:30 in the morning, we got off an elevator after being crammed in like sardines with doctors and nurses signing papers going up to the third floor. They ran down the hallway and said, "That room's yours." And we walked into a waiting room that nobody else was in with one little table light on. Our families lived in Ohio and Minnesota. Nobody there to help us. A scared little couple got on their knees at a couch. And I said, "Dear God, we love our son. We gave him to you before we had him. He was yours before he was ours. And if you want him that bad, you can have him. But we're going to need some grace. But if you keep him here, I'll do everything I can to make sure he lives for you. Oh, by the way, he preached to you last week. He's got a scar. It used to be down here. It's up about his elbow now. Got a scar on his chest from the lines that they had put in. Can I tell you something? Those were some pretty dark hours. But last Sunday, we had light. Darkness may endure for a night. Weeping may endure for a night. But joy cometh in the morning. We went to South Carolina. We went through some pretty tough times there. Can I tell you something? Brother Josh was at youth conference this week. He said, "Dad, I just met so-and-so's child at youth conference. It was the child of one of our teenagers in South Carolina. Boy, did I feel old." Now, his first text said, "That person's grandchild." I said, can't be. Then he texts back, "Ha, ha, ha, you just aged 25 years, didn't you?" I didn't think it was funny at all. I remember the day Brother Hiles died. I was working for Brother Hiles, and I remember the day he passed away, and oh, it was so dark. But joy comes. Light comes. Remember about 8 years ago, I fought a battle of my life. Literally fought a battle for my life at times. People tried to burn my house down just for trying to live right. But look around. Grace Baptist Church was birthed because of that battle. I'll take that any day. Darkness is tough, but there's light on the other side. 2020, pretty tough year. Pretty tough year. We lost some people we love. Brother Fred passed. My mom passed. My daughter and son-in-law got married here in June, and in October, Michael's mom, my wife's age, young lady, young. Ended up with a hernia that strangled and burst inside and spent about 10 days in the hospital and went to heaven. And I went down and preached her funeral, tried to help the church. There's Nathan with a 12-year-old girl at home to raise by himself. Pretty dark hours. But can I tell you something? We've been through COVID, but look around. People are still coming. People are still getting saved. It may be dark on the outside, but there's morning light coming. Morning sunrise is on its way. I'll finish with this. There was a day filled with darkness. Jesus hung on a cross. Everybody he knew and loved had forsaken him. Even God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He hung in total darkness for 3 hours. And he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he say it twice? Because God the Father and God the Holy Spirit had turned their back on their very own Son. He was suffering the separation from God. He was suffering our hell for us at Calvary. He died. But Sunday morning was coming. Oh, it was dark. It was nasty. It was lonely. There was fear. There was all kinds of turmoil. But Sunday morning came. And up from the grave he arose. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter how dark the night. The morning light follows. The evening and the morning were the first day. Doesn't matter how dark the night. May I help you? Light's on the way. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I tell you something? You don't have to suffer eternal darkness in hell. You can enjoy the light of heaven. Jesus himself will be the light. And all you have to do is put your trust in him. Amen. This church is not perfect. It's not pastored by a perfect pastor. I'm a sinner like everybody else. But it just happened to have a great God. Happened to understand he gave us his book. And he said, the darkness will come, but the light will always follow. Doesn't matter what your dark days are, I can give you hope. Morning's coming. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hands? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that someday. I'll not call your name. I'll not point you out. I'll not come to you, but you say, preacher, I don't know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? All right. There's one. There's another. There's two hands that went. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you raised your hand and said, preacher, I don't know that for sure. Again, I won't push you. But if you come, if you're a man, well, have a man take the Bible, and I promise you in 3 minutes you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you're a lady, we'll have the lady take the Bible and show you how you could know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores of hands are up. Thank you. You may put them down.